The camp was contracting like a turtle tucking in its limbs for the night. One of the poachers shoved a captive into a tent by the back of her neck. She didn't struggle. A pregnancy was a guarantee of life in the Kurian zone, both as proof of fertility and for the sake of the new member of the human herd.
Easy now, easy crew. Just relax, Sunday. All I want to do is talk a bit.
Sunday led him into camp, and people gathered, naturally curious about the stranger. Weapons were readied, but not pointed.
Who's in charge here?
That'd be me.
Then you must be Blitty Easy.
Blitty Easy's legs held up a stomach that jutted out like a portable stove. Not flab, exactly, but the heavy center of a powerful man. Valentine had to admire his sartorial taste. From the dirt pattern on his extremities, Valentine surmised he drove the ATV. Valentine hadn't seen a beaver hat since New Orleans, at least, if not Oklahoma, and this one had a lush shine to it that spoke of either recent purchase or tender care. Everything on him looked bright and expensive, from the silver tips on his shoes to the diamonds fixed to the skin in the place of one shaved eyebrow.
Careful now with that gun, stranger.
I'm here to talk, not shoot.
Even shooting off your mouth can be dangerous around me, injured man. What's the matter? We grab somebody's air? You the big tough man they sent to get him back? No, her back?
I think bigger than that. I want the whole bunch. Leave the bonds. I want to present them wrapped up like a big bouquet.
You talk pretty big for a man with none but a dumb kid in his sights. You can shoot him if you like. Serves him right for letting himself get snuck up on in that tree.
What direction you going, Sunday?
South, Memphis.
Shut up, Sunday.
South. Good. You won't have to circle around to avoid us. You can just keep on track.
Valentine walked Sunday around the circle of onlookers. Each took a step back as he approached, and he held his right fist cocked so his brass ring was at eye level. The circle of men and guns around Valentine widened and spread and thinned as though he were rolling dough. They eyed the submachine gun at his hip. Carrying a quality firearm like that openly marked one as either a tool of the Kurian Order or someone operating outside it. Easy's crew maintained their well-armed independence by living on the fringes of the masquerade of a civilization beneath the towers. Deadly as his weapon was, some would say the brass ring on his finger was the deadlier weapon. It was the mark of Kurian favor. A wearer was owed respect, for the fear and favor of the Kurians hung about the ring's owner like a king's mantle.
Who do you think you are threatening my crew?
Who am I? A man tested by the only law that lasts, that of the jungle. I speak 3 Grog dialects and have a foot pass for half the tribes west of the Tennessee and Ohio. I've watched Twisted Cross tubs open, ridden the Cannonball St. Louis to L.A., and flown with Pip Circus. I've sailed the Caribbean and the Great Lakes and Puget Sound, humped hills in Virginia and Baja, tickled lip from Albuquerque to Xanadu. I've won a brass ring and the power to put you all in unmarked graves. I'm your last chance, Blitty Easy.
Why are you bothering with us then, Mr. Big Shot?
The old folks are interested in Kentucky right now. They don't want to see another state fall to the guerrillas. We're on our way to talk some sense into the more friendly locals. I thought my goons would have to forage for heartbeats, but you went out rounding up strays and did the job for us.
We get paid for them?
Payment is, you just hand over your collection without going in the bag with them. My old man likes keeping brimful on oro when traveling, and he's not particular.
He's bluffing, Blitty.
Kiss my ring and check it out. I don't mind.
A brass ring on its rightful wearer accumulated enough bioelectric charge to tingle when you touched your lips to it. Valentine found the sensation similar to licking a battery. His brass ring, fairly won in Seattle, was legitimate enough, and he usually kept it with some odds and ends in a little velvet bag along with a few favorite hand-painted mahjong pieces. Though he'd lost his taste for the game long ago, they still made useful tokens for sending messages to people who knew him. The only tarnish about the ring was the mark it had left on his conscience. Valentine could tell the crew was impressed, even if Blitty Easy still looked suspicious.
Or you want to test me some other way?
Regular Sammy Rye with that blade.
Deal without the talent to back it up's just so much butter knife.
Valentine's options for a relatively peaceful solution were running out, but he had one last card to draw. His imitation of a Reaper scream had worked once before, a dozen years ago, several hundred miles north in the hills of western Illinois. It might work here.
Ah!
Valentine's reflexes moved ahead of his regrets. Valentine knocked Sunday flat. No rhyme or reason to the rest. The fat was in the fire, and he had to move or burn. A hand near him reached for a chest holster to his right, and he swung his sword in a sweeping blow. He spotted the shotgun barrel as it wheeled towards him. The man behind him absorbed the blast, turning his cheek into red mist and white bone. A poacher put a banana-clipped assault rifle to his shoulder. His hair lifted as though an invisible brush had passed through it, and he went down, a thoughtful look on his face as he toppled. Valentine rolled free, dropping his sword and reaching for the little submachine gun he carried across Kentucky twice as he ran out of the firelight. With a shake, the wireframe folding stock snapped into place. The poachers had pitched their tents in a little cluster, and he moved through them. He saw a shaggy back with a bandolier and planted a triangle of bullets in it between the shoulder blades, moving all the while, zigzagging like a man practicing the foxtrot in triple time. Turned out the 12, and then some, could be taken without too much of a risk. These weren't soldiers. They were brigands, used to preying on the weak. They popped their heads up like startled turkeys to see where the reports of the sniper fire came from and received a bullet from Dorian's rifle. Pairs of men moved together instead of covering each other. Valentine cut down two as they ran together toward the machine gun pointed impotently at the sky. Among the other bandits now retreating into the night, Valentine spotted a figure with long hair running, dragging a child.
Please, Dorian, don't get carried away.
There was only one headhunter Valentine wanted to be sure of.
God damn it!
He wasn't that hard to find. A brown-coated figure burst from the brush as Easy swept past. Duvalier executed a neat thrust under his shoulder blades. Duvalier kicked the corpse and then waded through the brush to Valentine, sniffing the beaver hat suspiciously as she passed.
That was a good piece of killing, if I do say so myself.
Duvalier wore that old, fierce grin that made Valentine wonder about her sanity. She kneeled down beside Easy's body and lifted his coattail to her sword.
This thing might be nice for winter. Ugh, smells like garage gunpowder and hair oil, though.